Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Total Water Polo Podcast, a brand new season of the Total Water Polo Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. We hope you had a great summer, whether you're enjoying the action from Budapest, from Split, or any of the age group tournaments. It's good to be back, and we hope you're as excited about the new season as we are. I'm really excited about it. And of course, a new season means a brand new series of the podcast. And a brand new series of the podcast means some brand new guests. Today, we're joined by the MVP from the women's competition in Split. She's one of the top performers in the last five years or so. A Greek international, a really decorated player of Olympiakos. It's Eleftheria Plevritou. And this is what's coming up next.
Last season is last season. Now it's a new season. Of course, we have the target to win again the Champions League. Me as a person, I don't get angry. But when it comes to my sister, to be honest, I get angry a lot easier. And I shout to them, our big aim is Olympics in Paris. For our sport, generally, is really bad that it's not as famous as it should be.
And that's the voice of Eleftheria Plevritou. This episode was really fun to record, so stay with us to listen to that. Just before we start, don't forget that you are entitled to 10% off at wearwaterpolo.com using the discount code podcast10. We've got some absolutely gorgeous Yug trunks that have just come out, so 10% off them isn't too bad. And of course, I really appreciate all the support we've had in the first season of the podcast, but if you can like us, share us on whatever platform you're listening to, that is massively appreciated. Anyway, let's get on with the first episode of the new season with Eleftheria Plevritou. Eleftheria Plevritou, welcome to the Total Water Polo Podcast. How is everything?
Hello, thank you for having me here. I'm fine, thanks. What about you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's lovely to have you, and I'm excited for our talk. I guess we'll start off this morning. I opened up my phone and saw on Instagram a nice team selfie after a gym session with Olympiakos. Yeah. I assume you guys have been training hard ahead of the season this weekend.
Yes, from the moment that we start, like a week after Split, we're having a really hard preparation because with Olympiakos we have a lot of targets to achieve this year also. About the Greek League, Greek Cup, we want again the Champions League, so it will be another hard year for us. If you also concern also about national team, it will be a full year again, so we are trying to get to prepare and get ready for the moment that we need to be ready for the game.
Yes, of course. And we'll talk about this season shortly. But first, I think we should talk about this summer just gone, a very busy summer, a quite unusual summer. And there's probably nowhere better to start than the European Championships in Split. Congratulations, of course, on the silver medal and, of course, the MVP award. Going into Split, the European Championships, I have to admit, for Greece, I kind of thought, you know, definitely top five. But out of the, you know, those top five teams, Spain, the Netherlands, Italy, Hungary, and of course Greece, you guys weren't in great form. I don't think you were playing that well. How did it feel as a team going into those championships? How were you feeling?
To be honest, we knew from the beginning that the European start that we wasn't the team that is one of the favorites for the medals. But sometimes you need to first believe in yourself and then all the others will do it also after you. So this we need to do. For the past years, we are in the top five, six teams in the European and world championship. But we always we don't achieve the target that we want. This year we changed this. We start from the beginning, from the very first moment against Hungary, which is the first difficult game for us. And this helped us our psychology more to start to continue like this with stronger game. And in the end to achieve the silver medal, which is really important for us because I believe this team has a bright future.
Yeah. You said there about belief and starting well. Obviously, you had a really tough group in Split. You had Hungary first game, really, really tough. But just back to Budapest and the World Championships a few months before, you also had a really tough opening game. I think it was against Spain. And you drew in that one. but obviously you ended up not achieving exactly what you wanted to in Budapest. What do you think the difference was in the tournament play from Split and Budapest?
As you said before, this summer was really difficult for us because we had European and World Championship, which is the first time that this happened. So for us, for the athletes, it was really difficult because we have to make preparation for two different periods, which you have to be on the best level of training and like strength, like all the packet that we need to be in the game. So it was really difficult. I want to say first this. So at the World Championship, as you said, Spain was in our group, which for me is one of the best team in the world. For the past 10 years, it has medals in most of the games that it has, European or World, also Olympics. So she's one team with a really big experience, and we have, we like this team, I'm sorry. And so our group was difficult against Spain. We achieved to be like tie with them. After that, for me, I think the worst was in the quarterfinals, which I think we could make it and win the Netherlands. We played really bad for our level. So it was really difficult for us after that to gain back our strength to go for the fifth place. So I think the really bad for our team was the quarterfinals game, which we was on a really bad day, and we lost by 5 goals, which wasn't for me.
It didn't reflect how well you guys played.
Exactly, yes, reflect.
Talking back to something a little bit more positive, a silver medal. It's always a weird, an odd scenario in water polo, winning a silver medal, because obviously, on the one hand, you've played in a final and you've lost. And I mean, lots of us at different levels have all played in finals and lost and regretted what we did or didn't do. But on the other hand, you come home with a medal. You're the second best team in Europe. And obviously, you personally won the MVP award. So how do you kind of evaluate the disappointment of losing in a final, being so close to being champions, but also going home really overachieving, massively overachieving, I would say, and obviously personally with that MVP award?
So for us, it was really important that we made it until the final. We knew that we could make it because we believe in ourselves, because we knew that we are a really strong team with talent and a low age. Our age of the team was really low, so we have also a future. So for the final, it was really bad, and we felt really sad, of course, when we lose the gold, because we knew that we could win Spain. Also, in the World Championship, we have a really good game against them. But Spain was better in the final. They are a team with more experience. So for us, at that on these days, it was really difficult, and we were so sad because we knew that we could make it. It wasn't like we went to the final and we say, okay, let's go for the silver medal, we don't care, or we cannot make it. We knew that we could, but at the end, Spain was better on that day, so they deserve it. When the days passed, it was like the good feeling stay stronger to us, because silver medal is a really huge achievement for this team. And it's the beginning of a really bright future, as I said before. So after that, only the happy parts stay in the team. And we are really happy for this, that because this summer was really difficult. And we finished like all the games with a really good achievement.
Yeah, I'm really glad that the good feeling stayed after, because it was a really good achievement for you guys. And you've kind of alluded to it a few times about the bright future. And the next generation of Greek players is really, really impressive. We spoke to your old coach, Charis Pavlidis, a few days ago, and we published an interview, and he spoke about this 2004 age group. Some of them are already in the first team for the Greek national team, but there are so many young players in the Greek league at the moment. How exciting is it for you to kind of to have them coming with you along for the ride, and you know what maybe can you achieve going forward?
I think that this moment our team has the best combination of a really good experience old players. We are 27 and and younger. We are not old, but okay, if you compare with the 2004, we are okay, older. So I think it's the best combination with older players that we used to, in our ages, like in young categories, we used to take medals in all the, in all these categories. So it's the combination of the older players with the younger that they also have medals. So at this moment, we have a team that is full of talent. We have experience and a more fresh team, fresh players, like younger. So this combination, I think it's the key for the future, as I said, because for sure it will be bright. We will try to work hard and continue to be on the medals because we want to be to do that. And of course, to our big aim is Olympics in Paris.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And that's the goal. And just before we move on, we have a question in part two. I can't remember where it is. I'm just trying to look for it. But basically, it was a question about your coach, Alexia. Basically, what is she like as a coach? Now, some people find her quite scary on the poolside. She seems to be shouting a lot. But honestly, when she comes and speaks to the press, she's always very, very friendly. And what is it like? What's it like being coached by her?
For me, it was the first time that I had her as a coach. A lot of girls in the team, like most of the girls, they work with her in the future in Vouliagmeni, in Glyfada. So they had the experience with Alexia. But for a few of us, it was a new challenge, a new coach in the national team. For me, she's exactly as you said, she's like two different persons. During the game, of course, it's the... okay, it's really difficult during the game. She's more intense, she shouts more, but she cares a lot for us. During the training, she's much more calmer. So we see her in a different person as players see her on the pool side. So it's really funny because it's like you see two different persons in one. But for us, she's a really good coach. She likes a lot to swim, of course. Oh my God, every morning. So for us, it's not so good. But it's really good because she cares for she cares for each one of us, and she's really helpful. I'm sorry, with everyone, with each player, with the injuries. She understands everything because she used to be a player in a high level in Greece and in national team, of course. So she. She know how we feel in every moment of the training or the game, so it's really important.
Yeah, yeah, I've definitely seen that firsthand. She's, I remember after one of the games in Budapest, she was putting an arm around everyone, hugging them. You know, a few of the girls were really upset, and that empathy, as you said, being a great player and playing for the national team, it helps her and informs how she coaches. But yeah, very slightly scary sometimes, but really, really nice on the whole. Okay, all right, we'll talk about something a little bit different. We'll talk about family matters. Obviously, you get this this topic an awful lot, and why not we join in on it. Firstly, how important is your family as a whole to you, building the person that you are today, and how you perform in the pool?
It's really important. I think that everything that I achieve, me, my sister, and in all this, during the whole career, in Olympiacos, in the national team, it's really important because my parents were behind us. They tried to help us from the very first moment that we start, like 17 years back. We start from Heracles, a team in Thessaloniki, where we are from. So our parents were always there for us. They support us. They were driving us to the pool. They're waiting a lot of hours. So this is really important because when we were younger, if they didn't care a lot about us and about this sport that they knew that we are good at it, if they couldn't help us, I think we couldn't go further. We have this help like during the whole career. And for me, it's really important because they're always there for us.
If I've got my facts straight, they weren't particularly sporty themselves. Is that correct?
Exactly.
So they weren't particularly sporty, but they could clearly see that they had three very talented water polo players on their hands. Were there other sports before water polo, or did they encourage you to do lots of sports, or was it just water polo? Or what?
Especially my father, he would like to always make a sport. Not we didn't knew that we will be in this level now, but when we start with gymnastics, rhythmic gymnastic, and to be honest, I was the worst kid there. So thank God I changed the water polo. I was the worst. I would train every day a lot of hours, but I couldn't make it. I wasn't good at it. So thank God that my older brother and Margarita, they start first water polo because they were older. And after that, me and Vaso, we went like to sea after 1 month, and we loved it from the very first moment. We want to jump in the water, and we knew that we didn't even have swimming suit on this day. So from that moment, I really fell in love with water polo. And we started really hard training because in my previous team in Heracles, we had really hard trainings, even with that we were really young. So I learned a lot from this team. I learned to be like every day on the training, like 2.5 hours. And this was really important. We had the talent, of course, but we work a lot. We came to Olympiakos, and the future was really good for us, for the national team, for Olympiakos. So it was really good.
You probably get this question a lot, but when you come home together, and particularly when you were younger, did you all sit around the dinner table talking about water polo? Were you kind of moving the salt and pepper and the sauces to make the tactics? You know, or in the summer holidays, were you just throwing a ball at each other for 2 hours in the pool? Or what was it like when you were growing up and developing?
Because from a very young age, we had a lot of hours of training. When we are home, when we are getting rest, or especially during summer vacation, we never talk about water polo. We try not to deal with water polo because during the season, during the whole year, we have a lot of games, a lot of hours of trainings. We are tired from the training. So when we are out of the pool, we try not to speak about it, not like everything has to do with water polo. It's steps behind, aside. So especially on summer vacation, because it's the only time of the year that we have a few days off of the swimming pool. So it's really important not to speak about or to make passes or whatever. So we try not to do that.
Okay, good.
Too much water polo for us.
Hopefully you can have a little bit of a break, but it's difficult because it dominates such a big part of your lives. But what exactly is the dynamic like when you are playing in the pool with your sisters? Because obviously you're with them constantly. You play club polo together and obviously with the national team. You know, if one of them, you know, if Vasiliki or Margarita misses a shot, for example, you know, sometimes when we're training, you know, or in a game, a few seconds after someone takes a stupid shot, you feel angry at them in your head. Do you feel the same way, or are you like, oh no, that's my little sister? Just
no, no.
You know, I won't. You know, some players are really, really get really angry and they shower at each other. Do you have that arrangement with your sisters? Or is it like, okay, they're my sister, not my teammate? What's it like?
It's really funny because me as a person, I don't get angry easily. They also, like my teammates, they also call me that I have this poker face because I never show my emotion during the game. But when it comes to my sister, to be honest, I get angry a lot easier and I shout to them more easily. So it's really fun that this is happening most of the times because I feel more comfortable to shout at her if she makes something that she wasn't allowed to do, for example. So me as a person, I'm really calm and I don't shout, even if I'm the older one and I can say, for example, my opinion during the game, not shout. But when it comes to my sister, the opposite happened. I shout more and I get angry easily. So
I think that's quite predictable, really. we all shout our siblings more than we probably should.
Exactly.
But in terms of the kind of the water polo aspect of it all, Margarita said in Split that sometimes it's easier to play with you and Vasiliki because you all know what each other's movements are. You don't even need to look at each other or speak. It's like you're, you know, psychic or something. Do you agree with that? Do you think it's like a sister thing, or do you think it's just anyone can create that sort of bond if they're playing often enough with someone else?
For sure, it's really important that we play all these years together, from Heracles to Olympiacos, the national team in a lot of years, young categories and senior team. So for sure, we know like every move that my sister is about to do, like both of them. But me as a player, I understand most of my teammates. So for me, this happened to most of my teammates because especially the one that play a lot of years in national team or club. So for me, it's easier to understand like most, because I play also to the right side, which we can read more the game. I use the phrase read, I don't know if it's true, if it's right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, okay. And so for me, it's easier like to do with most of my teammates. So I can say that, of course, I can understand my sister like every move, but also for most of my teammates. So for me, it's the same, to be honest. I can understand the movements like easily.
Okay, that's interesting. You can understand your teammates. But we've now got a little bit of a game that we're going to play. This is the first time I've done something like this on the podcast, but why not? And this is about how well we can get to know you and your sisters. And I've called the game, Which Plevra 2 Are You? So I'm going to ask you a question, and yes, you have to reply which one of you or your sisters is fits the description. So, okay, let's go. Honest answers, and the first answer only. We might discuss the answer. Okay, so which Plevra 2 is the most fun to be around?
The most fun. To be honest, I think it's me. A lot of times, okay, I'm serious, but a lot of times I make a lot of things that most of my teammates laugh. But the three of us, we are quite serious, to be honest. But from the three, it's me, yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right, being modest about it. Okay, I think I know the answer to this one. But which Plevra 2 is the most competitive?
It's me.
It has to be. It has to be. Okay, no discussion needed there. Which Plevra 2 is the most sensible?
It's Vasiliki.
Really?
Yes.
The youngest?
Yes.
That's very unusual.
Yes.
You'd think the two older sisters would be kind of more, you know, wise. And in what ways is she more sensible, you know, in what respects?
So Vaso is always thinking like more before she answers. So she always has like she seems, okay, her face is, she has like a baby face. So she seems younger, but you can see that she's like a grown woman. Even if a lot of people think that she's still 15, oh, 17, I'm sorry. Oh my God. But I think like most of the time she acts like more with her logic, like she thinks a lot and after she acts. So she's more like, I think that is Vasiliki, yes.
You see, I would have thought it would have been Margarita or you for sure.
To be honest, no.
Not so much. Oh, there we are.
Me and Vaso, I think more.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. Okay, which Plevra 2 is the best singer or dancer?
Oh my, dancer is me, of course.
Okay.
Singer? Oh my God, we are all terrible. I don't, maybe Margarita has a better voice, but not so good, all of us.
You never on the coach on the way to the pool or to games or anything, there's no one singing in the team, maybe?
I'm sorry, I'm always the one that sings in the house, but I'm not a good singer. I'm a good dancer, I can say that, but about singing, everybody shout at me like, stop singing.
Okay. Okay. All right. We'll take your word for it. Good dancer, but not so good at singing.
Yes.
Which Plevra 2 is the most likely to be a coach when they stop playing?
I think Margarita or me.
Yeah.
Sure, Vasiliki knows she's about to be a dentist. So me, I'm thinking like in the future, like for second job, because it's not like my target to be a water polo coach. So me and Margarita, I cannot say.
You two. Yes. Okay, but it's interesting that Vasiliki wants to be a dentist.
Yeah, she's studying. She's about to finish like in a year or.
Oh, amazing. Yes. That's always good if someone chips a tooth in this game. To help out. Okay, I think I know the answer to this one as well, but which Plevra 2 is the most bossy?
It's me.
Yeah. I don't need to say anything.
It's me, yes.
Okay. Which Plevra 2 is the best chef? Who's the best at cooking and baking and things like this?
So, for the sweets, it's Margarita, for sure. But when it comes to food, it's me and it's Vaso, her nickname. So most of the time it's Vaso. So it's me and Vaso. Like, it depends which kind of food, but the two of us, I cannot say who is better, but Margarita is for sure for the sweets. Sure.
What sweets does she make? What kind of?
Oh my God, a lot. She's really good at brownie. She make like a healthy banoffee. Oh my God, it's amazing. She can make like a sweet, like chocolate balls, like truffle balls. All the team loves them. What else? She try also new things. Like most of the time she try new things, but I think I love her banoffee, especially it's a healthy one. And her truffle sweet balls, like chocolate balls.
Nice. They will sound delicious. Did she make them like... for like when you go away, or does she make them just spontaneously midweek and brings them to training or something like that?
So in Greece, we have this thing when we have birthday or name day, because we have also name day, we always bring sweets to the pool. So most of the times Margarita is making the sweets for the three of us because everybody loves them. And so all the team, like a lot of girls, they are buying sweets for these occasions, but we like to make them, so Margarita is always the chef of the sweets.
Okay. I know who to go to the next tournament if there's no food in the press centre. Okay, the final question which Plevra 2 are you is maybe the most difficult and unfair one, but which Plevra 2 is the best water polo player?
Oh my God, yes, it's difficult. So I think that I was always the one that had the talent. Margarita is, it's like I will split the answer. Margarita is the one that has, how to say, like a more strong way of playing, like with two emotions. Like she cares for the teammates. She's like, now she's also captain. So she, I don't know how to explain.
Commitment, she's more committed and determined.
Yes, attitude, like with strength, like more strong game. And also she has a lot of things that are really good, like her shoot, her passes, that a lot of coaches always say that she's good at. So I think we have like different part, because being a good water polo player, you have to have a lot of things. So for the three of us, I split like to three, because it's really difficult for me to answer. It's the coaches is better to say.
Of course, yeah, of course. That was an impossible question to answer.
Yes.
But you did really well with it. And that was really interesting. I feel like we all know a little bit more about you and your sisters now. And there's some surprising answers in there as well. So it's all good. All right, let's move on and talk about this season then, which starts this weekend. Very exciting. If you don't mind, can you maybe tell listeners very briefly what's special about the Greek League? If they haven't watched or read about it before, why should they take an interest this year?
So this year we are like four strong teams. Of course, I think that our team is a level like higher level. After that is Glyfada, Ethnikos and Vouliagmeni. The three of them, I think they will fight for the second place. Of course, we have like a season to go, but everybody see that Olympiakos is a level like more high, because also in the Champions League, we are one of the favorite teams to make the like three times in a row to take the European. And after that, we will have a lot of strong games, especially the four teams that I said. After that, the other teams are in a lower level, so we know from now that it will not be so strong with the four of us. But I think it will be a strong games, and we have like two two phases. After we have the play out, we have a lot of games to go. We don't know exactly the result, of course, before we even start the championship. But I think that we are the favorites for the gold, of course. And we have also the Greek Cup, which is more difficult for me because you play only one game. Maybe if you're not in a good day, it will be hard for you, for all the teams. So this is a bit harder than the championship. But I think that our team will be like last season. We try to win everything. We know that we can make it. The team is really talented, really fresh, with a lot of experienced player. So I think also this season will be great for us. And we work for it. We make training and preparation for this season.
Yeah, there's so many things to talk about here with the Greek League and with Olympiakos. You personally have won so much with the club. Specifically, last season was historic with the quadruple. But what do you think the key to the success of Olympiakos has been over the last few years? You obviously signed the top players, but is there something more than just that? You're producing loads of really young talent as well.
For me, it's really important that this team start to work like a lot of years back when we didn't win all the things that if somebody see now, like all the targets that we have for every year, we achieve them. But if you go a lot of years back, there was a season that we didn't even qualify to the next round of Champions League. Like EuroLeague, they will change now the name to Champions League. So from the we lose a lot of times. We didn't even qualify. So we work harder and harder. In the Greek League, in the past years, we were always Olympiakos and Vouliagmeni. So we knew we are one of the two teams. We work a lot after 2014 that the first Len Trophy, we won the first Len Trophy. After that, the team is always one of the top teams in Europe. We take all the Greek championships. So all this work and preparation the past 9 years, 10 years, now the outcome is the past years that we have the best team, like in a big difference. So from the second team, we are like a lot better. So for me, it's really important all the past years that we work, that we have a lot of lost games. And after that, we came to a level that we, like 1 year and a half, we didn't lose any game. So it's like all this preparation of the past year that came like to this moment to not to lose from anyone. So it's the work from all the years.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been a long-term project. And you've kind of mentioned there you didn't lose for a year and a half.
Yes.
This season, if you win this league, it will be 10 leagues in a row, which is massively dominant. And it's not to undermine the work of anyone at the club or the achievements of your teammates, but do you think it's a problem for the league if the same team wins over and over again? If there's such a big gap between the best team and the second best team, is it a problem if you go into most games kind of, okay, against the top four, yeah, Ethnikos, Vouliagmeni, Glyfada, maybe there can be a different result, but all the other games, knowing that you're probably going to win, do you think that's problematic?
To be honest, I agree with you that when it comes to Greek League, and you know that Olympiakos is a higher level from the other teams, like the past years is these three teams that I said. It was even harder when the past years, like from 2020 and before, it was only Olympiakos and Vouliagmeni. So you knew that the only difficult games and like strong games in high level would be between the two of us. I think that is a kind of problem, but for me that I play in Olympiakos, it's not so problem. It's not like a big... So, okay, yes, it's a strong league because now we are four teams. If you put Olympiakos aside, of course, like in a level higher. But in the past year, the Greek League came like more strong. So we think it's better than the previous year that it was only Olympiakos and Vouliagmeni.
Of course, you're not going to complain about having 10, 15 national championship medalist at the end of your career, of course. But one competition for sure where every game is difficult, basically, especially in the quarterfinals onwards, is the Champions League, the Women's Champions League, formerly known as the EuroLeague. You're the double reigning champions. How special are those games? I remember covering last year in Athens, the stands were packed. The noise was incredible for the final four competition. How special are those moments to play in front of crowds like that and to win and to be champions of Europe's top club competition?
So first of all, I will say that it's really bad for our sport that is not so famous, like in general, not in Greece. Like also, if you see from Spain that they have the gold and we have the silver, and most of the journalists, they deal with basket, with like the Eurobasket. So this is really bad. But when it comes to Olympiacos and we have like these fans and you play in a final that is really good to play. It's not like with no audience. So last year, also 2015, that it was in Athens, because everybody knows that Olympiakos has amazing fans. Like the pool, like it's amazing to play in this like this kind of games, and also in this level, because the final us against Sabatelli, it was amazing. It was really strong because both teams are really experienced with medals and like the best team in their country. So it was really important to play this kind of final in the former EuroLeague, now Champions League, okay? But it's really bad for our sport that this is not often. It's not quite often to play like in this kind of, like full of fans in the pool. So for us, it's really good that we have our fans. That is amazing to play. They help us to play like better, because you have this feeling that you play a really strong game. If we play final and the pool was empty, it will be like really bad for us, like the feeling that nobody cares, for example. So for us, it's really important, but for our sport generally, it's really bad that it's not as famous as it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, in fact, now we're on this, we did have a question from someone in part two, and it's from someone called Jess Martinez _3. It's on Instagram. They asked, I don't want to focus too much on the actual question they asked, because they asked, what's the difference in salaries between men and women at Olympiakos? I don't particularly want to answer that one, but how would you describe how the women's team are treated in Olympiakos? Do you think they're treated well? Do you think there's like a fairness, a balance between the men's team and the women's team in terms of support from the club, from... How would you describe the dynamic at the club?
So for our team, we know that from 2014 and after that, like most of the years, we are the best team in Greece and also like one of the favorites for the European. So our team is always in the highest level. So even if we are the best team in Europe or general, it will always be, it's not about Olympiakos, it's about women and men water polo. It's about like this general, we always have differences, because in all sport, I think this happened, like about the salaries. If you're not the best team, they treat us really good. I'm not saying this, it's not like about Olympiakos, I will say again, because maybe somebody will misunderstand, but it's always like the separation between men and women are always high. Like it's not so balanced about the salaries, about, and I'm speaking like general. So this is always a problem for us, because we are always like men and always, how to say, they're all, I think this happened in most of the sport, like men are always more high than the women. So this is really bad for us, and we don't feel always like comfortable with us. But for us, like the salaries and this and all this stuff, if you separate from the men, I think we are they treat us really good, because we're also the best team in Europe. So if you compare with other women team, for sure we have really good the conditions.
What can we do about that, do you think? What do you think water polo fans can do to around the world to help promote the women's sport?
To be honest, I don't know what exactly can do can somebody do. It's really difficult because this difference between men and women in all countries or clubs are always huge. Always huge. Because we're also speaking with other ex-teammates or opponents that we are like more friendly. I think like most of the team, national team, clubs, they always have this problem.
Well, let's hope going forward, and if you keep winning, people will have to pay attention. And I have to say, some of the women's games this season have been outstanding. The EuroLeague final was incredible. Budapest was fantastic at the World Championships, as was Split. But just to go back to what we were talking about before, the Champions League. Obviously, you guys are the two-time the double reigning champions. But from your point of view, what team in Europe possesses the biggest, poses the biggest threat to you and the Champions League title? Sabadell obviously will want revenge from last year. Mataro have added, they've got an insane team right now. They've added some unbelievable talent. Plebiscito were really good last season as well in Athens as well, and they finished third. Ferencvaros have spent big as well. So are you conscious of, do you keep an eye on the teams elsewhere in Europe, and which ones have caught your eye so far?
Of course, we always keep an eye on the other teams. It's not like last season is last season. Now it's a new season. Of course, we have the target to win again the Champions League, but there are always really good teams with us that we try to beat each other. So for me, after us, really strong team, and even stronger than the last year, is Sabatel. And after that, I think Mataro and Ferencváros. It's also Horizonte, Sis, and Padova, but I think it's they are a bit in a lower level like last season. So for me, it's us, Sabatel, Mataro, and Ferencváros. If I can say for now, of course, we have a lot of games to still to play. But for me, like teams, I can say these three.
It's great that there are so many teams we can mention that are really, really so good. And from a number of countries as well. It's really good for the progression of the sport. All right, then. We're going to take a break now, and we'll come back in part two with some questions that people have sent in on social media. Welcome back to part two of the Total Water Polo podcast. We're with Eleftheria Plevritou, and this is the part of the podcast where we answer the questions that you've sent in via social media on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, email, etc. And this is the Q&A part, and we normally start off Eleftheria asking our guests to give their top seven players, so like a dream team. They're total seven, so you can choose seven players, past or present, however you like, and a dream team. It's your team, you get to choose. So when you're ready, take it away.
Oh my God. It's really difficult.
Should I have given you some warning for this?
I think that I need some time. Wait. Seven players.
Yeah.
From like a worldwide, right? Not from Europe.
From anywhere.
Oh my God. Okay, I will take it, but I need a few minutes. So, I will start from the goalkeeper. So I will not use any Greek players. So it's not like, I don't want to use like Greek players, not to...
You don't want to be biased.
Yes, just to be, not to get somebody like sad, or I don't know, because I have only a few minutes to think about that. So for goalkeeper, I will say Johnson, Ashley Johnson.
Yeah.
Right side, Annie Spar for sure, and Julia Emolo for left-hander.
The sister.
Yes, yes, the four sister. So, center back. Your center, I'm trying to think. Center, I will say Maika Garcia. I can say also formal players,
yeah,
right?
Whoever you like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. I will go to the left side. No, I cannot, I cannot. For the left side, I will say I like a lot Roberta Bianconi. We used to play also together. And I like also, it's now the team is like full of Spain and Italy, yeah, yeah. Italians.
No Greeks. Because no I would... Greeks, no Hungarians. No Hungarians.
Rita Kesteli to the left with Roberta. So right is Emolo and Espar, Kesteli, Bianconi.
We just need a centre back.
What? Yes, your centre back. Goalkeeper, I said. I will say from Hungary, Gabriela Suts. I like her a lot. So, yes.
Gabby from a few years ago or from now?
Until 2016. Like, it was... Yes, yes.
Top player and she's still going strong. But so...
Yes, exactly.
So, Annie Espar, Giulia Molo on the right, Roberta Bianconi and Rita Kesteli on the left, Micah at centre-forward, Gabby at centre-back and Ashley Johnson in goal. How was it playing against Ashley Johnson in the Greek League last season?
Okay, so we play against her also in Vouliagmeni like a few years back. So we know her and it wasn't for me that hard. Okay, she's like one of the best goalkeepers for me. I will not say the best, one of the best, because we also had our two Greeks are really like Diamantopoulou and Stamatopoulou are really good. I also used to like a lot Armstrong in... from USA. So for me, it wasn't that hard because we know her as a player. We play against in the national team. We play against a few years back against when she used to play in Vouliagmeni. She's a really good goalkeeper, but Olympiakos has like a really good shooter. So for us, it wasn't that hard. She's a really good, but we could play against her like easily.
Yeah. Fine, that's fair enough. I wish I could play against her easily, but maybe not. Okay, on to the next question. Marianne.ntz asks on Instagram, did you ever have to choose between school and water polo when you were younger? Did you ever have to choose between one or the other? Would you have done something different, more academically, if it hadn't been for water polo, for example?
So when you are in a high level with water polo and all the sports, you always have to choose. So from a young age, I had the talent. I was in the national team. I was in Olympiakos, like in the highest level. I always have to put aside the school, the university, to be like more concentrated in water polo. But it's not like that I stop going to the school or to the university. I'm also a graduate in both. I have a Bachelor of Science in Maritime Studies in the university. But it was really difficult to combine these two, or with school or with university. But in my opinion, you always have to combine the two because it's not only water polo. Water polo... at some point, you will stop playing, of course. So academically, you have to be, in my opinion, like to have the background to after for the future job. So for me, it was important school and university, but always water polo was first because of the hours of training. I didn't have time for the university. I try and I finish in the 5 years of university. I finish, I take my degree. So I'm like less stressed because I knew that like the combination university and water polo in this level, it was really hard. So I try to combine them, but always water polo was the one that I choose first to put most of my energy there because you need a lot.
Of course, of course. And you've, of course, as you've said, you did your degree in maritime studies, the same as your sister as well?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Did you follow in her footsteps or did you both just have a passion for that?
No, to be honest, I follow her. I was just a bit jealous, to be honest, in a good way, because in Greece, maritime is really good, like for the future job. Like Greeks are really good in maritimes. So it was a good opportunity to take this degree and after have a really good future job, because we know that water polo at some point we will quit, we will stop, or we'll not play in this level.
Yeah. When you're both coaching in a few years' time, you can also be
there. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. 181818 Anola asks, how many years have you played for the Greek national team? How many years has it been?
Like for this, so I started the national team like young categories from 2010.
Yeah.
I was 12 to 13. After that, I play in all the categories until 2017. And in the senior team, I'm from 2012 in the World League that we took also a medal. And until now, it's like 11 years. So in the senior team.
Do you have a favorite memory during that time in the national team?
For me, it was the silver medal in European 2018 in Barcelona. It was amazing. We had amazing games. We played against Spain in Spain. So the crowd was really good in Barcelona. So I think this memory is the best for me until now.
Did you say you joined the national team, the senior national team in 2012?
Yes.
So how I'm just trying to work out how old you would have been then. You must have been very young.
Yes, I was. When I was on the team, I was 14. And during the summer, because we have World League like qualification round, so at that point I was 14. I was already in the team. And in summer that we had the medal, I was 15 years old.
Yeah, I was just thinking that as you were speaking. I was trying to do the maths. 14 is incredibly young.
I was always the youngest until 2014, I think. In all the national teams, I was the youngest one. From all the teams.
What's it like joining a national team at the age of 14? I mean, that's mad in my eyes. That's just crazy.
Yes, you cannot imagine, because I was like also too skinny. I was a little girl, so all the players were huge for me. I could see them, everybody like double than me. It was really difficult, but I was really happy and it was an honor for me, for the coach to pick me in 14 years old to be in the senior national team. And it was the first medal in 2012 in the World League. We had the bronze medal, which is really important because at that point the national team has a new team. We had like because elder one left, so half of the team were 17 years old and lower. So I was 14 to 15, so it was really difficult, but it was an honor for me to be in the senior national team.
Yeah.
From then,
I bet that's crazy. You've spent loads of years in the senior national team, but anyway, moving on. We have a question here on Instagram from Sufos, and it was in Greek, so I translated it. I'm not sure if the translation was good. I'm not going to try and pronounce it. He said, what is the best way to improve your lob? Now, that's quite specific. He might probably be referring to that cheeky little lob you scored in the final against Spain. Do you remember?
Yes.
Against
Hungary.
No. There was one in the final against Spain, I remember. There was probably one against Hungary.
Oh, yes, you are right. Yes, from position side. 5.
Anyway.
Yes.
But the lobbing aside, do you have a favourite way of scoring goals? Do you have like a, you know, 6 metre foul or bounce shots or lobs? Do you have a favourite, you know, that when you shoot and score and you see a replay of it, you think, yeah, that one was a good one or not really?
To be honest, my favorite, it's not like that I do like quite often. It's the one that from the right side, like wing position 2 that we say, like the my right side, like high shoot post in. This is my favorite, but it's not always easy to do. And about the lob shoot, I'm to be honest, I always work on training my lob shoot because I can understand and I can make a really good lob because I'm always thinking what the goalkeeper will do, when he will jump, and I'm trying to do like the lob shoot on the moment that she cannot catch. So I'm always working on it. So that's why you can see in the games that like everybody, when I'm doing the lob shoot, everybody, they know that it's Eleftheria doing it.
It's classic. It's turning into a classic. And you'd say the timing, you said there's something quite interesting. You said you wait until the goalkeeper then can't go any higher. You said the timing's important for the lobs?
Exactly. And during training, I always think about that, about the timing that she will jump and she will go like... when she will jump after that, she cannot go higher. So in that moment, I make my lob shoot so she cannot catch. Like most of the time, it's not like I always do in a good way, but I work a lot on the training. So that's why everybody know that my lob shoot is good. But it's not one of my favorite, to be honest.
Okay. But your favorite is on the right side, off the post.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sure I would enjoy the feeling of scoring that if I ever had scored one like that, but fine. Okay, next question. This is really interesting. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh my God. 5 years.
Yeah.
2027.
Yeah.
So now I'm 25 and my aim is Olympics in Paris, like 2024. After that, I don't know what I will do. Like my mind is until there, and after that, I will see. I already have my degree, like university. If I want to go for a job, it's a really good degree. But it's a really hard question because it's like 5 years. Even if I think something now, maybe in the next year it will change. So I can say until Paris that it will be all about water polo, like most of the years, because you cannot do in other way. And if we go to Olympics, and especially if we take a medal, after that, I think it will be easier to decide what to do. It will be more easier because my biggest aim is to go to Olympics, and especially if a medal will come, it will be amazing. So I cannot say in 5 years, I'm sorry. until 2024, I know that it will be like water polo full time.
Yeah. And for the listeners, she's not joking when she says the mind's totally on the next Olympics. I remember we were speaking in Split and you said to me that you'd literally planned out almost every month, every week before the Paris Olympics. And do you think you guys have a good chance of making that tournament? European qualification is so difficult. There's always going to be, especially now with the rise of some other teams, there's going to always be maybe two teams that are going to miss out. A bit like Tokyo, you guys and Italy both didn't go. So it's going to be really tough, but you believe you can get that?
I believe in my team. I think that in the next European and the two World Championships before Olympics, it will be really good for us. We want to have a good result to achieve again, medal, especially if it's gold, it will be the best. And if we have like medal or good place in these tournaments, it will be also, this will mean that we qualify. So our target is first in Fukuoka, that is first like next July. After that is Tel Aviv in the European and after Doha. So in the three tournaments, there are always chances to qualify, which is really important for us. I think that the team has the quality to do it and the team is ready to do it. So we have 1 year and a half, like more, until Paris. So for me, it will be great. And I believe in my team that we will do it.
Yeah, for sure. And just a follow-up question as well, on where you see yourself in like 5 years' time. Do you think you could ever play water polo outside of Greece? Would you ever consider it?
To be honest, yes, I'm thinking because it's different when you play in your team. Like I'm playing for Olympiakos. This is my 12th year. So it's many years. So I would like to see myself in the future, maybe trying to play in Italy, Hungary, Spain, which they have really good teams and good leagues. So I will see, like after Paris, I will think about that. I'm not sure what I will do, of course. It's 2 years now. We have two seasons, this season and the next season. But after that, I'm thinking to try that. It will be a really good experience for me.
Definitely, definitely. And I guess our final question, and we always ask all of our guests this question, is what you do with your time, however small, when you're away from the training pool, whenever you're away from water polo and competitions. I know that you spent a week in Mykonos this year. But how do you relax? How do you spend your time away from the pool?
So because of the national team and Olympiacos, which we are on the highest level, and during the season we are always fully booked, I can say, with games, with travels, with trips. Like we have a lot of games and really strong games for our calendar. So for me, like during the summertime that we have, most of the times we have a small period that we are off, like now after Split that we have this week, I'm always go away from Athens. I'm always trying to be by the sea, try to relax, to get away from water polo, from chlorine, because we are always 24/7, we smell chlorine, we are always in the pool. So for me, it's really important to go away on trips, especially during summertime in Greek islands, which I love them, most of them. And during the season that we have only, like during the week, most of the times we have only half day or we have only Sunday, I'm always trying to go out with my friends, speak about different things, not to speak about water polo or like anything to do with water polo. So I'm trying the days or the few hours that we have without training or without gym or game, I'm trying to go away, like to walk with music I like a lot with my dog, or to go out with friends, or to cook in my house, like in a food that is more difficult to do during my routine with trainings and gym. So most of the times I'm doing this. When I have more days, I'm like to go on a trip out of Athens, so I will be like more away, like to relax my head.
Yeah, well, in the spirit of what you've just said, I'm really sorry that you've spent an hour and a half today on some time off on the podcast instead of doing whatever you were going to do. But of course, thank you very much for joining us. You've been fantastic, and it's been a really, really good chat. And of course, best of luck for the league that starts. It starts this weekend.
Thank you very much for having me. It was really nice today. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
We thank Eleftheria for her time. And of course, we thank you for your time as well in joining us. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, our first episode of the season. And we've got so many more to come over the next few weeks. We've penciled in some really, really cool guests, and we'll be releasing their names shortly, and make sure you send in questions. But thank you very much again for joining us. If you like the podcast, rate us, follow us, like us, do whatever you can, tell your friends about us. It helps build the community around the show. And as I said at the beginning of the show, make sure you head over to Wear Water Polo and use our discount code podcast10 for 10% off. I mentioned those briefs. It's their 100 year anniversary. There's two pairs. There's the classic red and blue, and then there's the gold and white, which they're just absolutely stunning. I've got my pair already and they look really, really cool. So head over to Wear Water Polo for that. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will catch you next week. Bye bye.